Making your way back to your seats, if you could take your Bibles and turn them to Psalm 1, let's remain standing. I'm going to read our scripture this morning, amen. And once again, we are going to finish verse 1 at least today, amen. Talking about the blessed man, Psalm 1. And again, your Bibles should fall open to this area of scripture. We've been here for several weeks now. And considering the negative choices of the blessed man. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any omis? Anybody need a second to get there? Amen. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible right in front of you. Amen. And we're going to read the entire psalm, but we're going to focus on the latter part of verse number 1. So read all six verses with me together. Here we go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. We've been considering the blessed man, and before we could look at this man in its entirety, we began looking at the beginning of this man, and we began to see the negative choices of the blessed man. After the fall of man in the book of Genesis, we have all now become sinners, and as a result, man struggles to do what he's been told to do. How many of y'all find that to be an issue with your children? Amen. Your children struggle to do what they've been told to do. Amen. And so therefore, the blessed man has to be told what not to do in order to be right with God. Amen. And so we've been considering the negative choices of the blessed man. We saw, first of all, he does not listen to ungodly counsel. Then second of all, he does not linger with sinners. Amen. And we found out that they can have harm that they would do to you, but also there is some help from you to them that you can give them. Amen. It's not all bad. Amen. You can be a help to them. By the way, if you're here today, you are a sinner. Let's get that under wraps, amen. Some of you are sinners saved by grace, amen. Others that are sinners waiting to be saved by grace, amen. And if you're a sinner saved by grace, you can give the gospel to those that don't have it, amen. If you're a sinner waiting for the grace of God, guess what? It's going to be delivered to you today. It's going to be up to you to receive it, amen. But all in all, amen, the next command is the last of the negative commands that he gives, and we're going to look at that one this morning. The blessed man does not lounge with scorners. It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We'll look at that in just a moment here. And you are going to get the opportunity to participate in praising and receiving the word of God here in just a moment. But let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the blessed man. Thank you for the description that you have given to us detailing what it is that we need to have in our lives, what it is in our lives that we need to refrain from. Lord, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. Lord, I know that others would love to join in with that, but Lord, it comes at a price. That price was the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being battered, bruised, crucified, nailed to a tree, being buried and then risen again. Jesus paid it all, and the price has been paid. So, Lord, now that the price has been paid, the door's open, wide open for us to receive that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We truly want to be the blessed man. Lord, we know that we'll have to refrain from listening to ungodly counsel, not linger with sinners, not lounge with scornful people because they won't be to our advantage. Lord, help us today to see the fullness of a Christian life. Help us to see the blessings of refraining from these types of individuals. Lord, help us to vividly see where we stand in regards to that. Lord, we may be on one side or the other. Or Lord, we may be vacillating between both. Lord, help us to make up our minds today and make a decision to do right by God. I pray if there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, may they sense the Spirit's prodding on their life and the poking on their life. And Lord, may they expose themselves to receive the Word of God. May they repent of sin, turn to God, turn to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of their sin, and receive the gift of eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. And so, Lord, I pray there'll be those that will call on the name of the Lord today. Then I pray there'll be others that will say, I'm getting away from the ungodly counsel. I'm getting away from the sinners. I'm not going to sit with the scornful. I'm going to make up my mind today. And Lord, those of us that have refrained, help us to still say, I'm going to still try to reach that ungodly person. I'm still going to try to help that sinner. I'm going to try to witness to that scornful person if they will allow the gospel message to get to their lives. Help us to do our part today. Bless now in the service, Lord. Do what man can't do, and that's glorify thyself through us and through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Ms. Dawson is going to sing. You may be seated. Thank you, Carmen. Amen. I appreciate that. What a blessing. None but you. Amen. Jesus, none but you. A lot of things can happen in our lives, but you know, nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ can solve those problems. Amen. A lot of folks may have some answers. Amen. But he has all the answers. And I'm so glad that I serve a risen Savior who has all the answers. Amen. You say, preacher, there's a lot of problems out there. Amen. But there's a lot of God out there, too. Amen. God can handle all the problems that we have. And we are so thankful for that. Amen. Well, I do trust that this year you have been blessed by looking at some of the Psalms. The theme, again, is Psalms for the soul. Amen. And there's a psalm for your soul. You just open up the book of Psalms. Amen. Start with Psalm 1. Go all the way to Psalm 150. No matter what you're going through, there is a psalm that fits your special circumstances and your situation. You'll see a whole range of emotions ranging from sorrow to joy to ecstasy to betrayal. I mean, you just see everything in the book of Psalms, and the different authors of the Psalms have penned those things down. We come to Psalm number 1. It's an anonymous psalm here, and as we've been looking at that psalm here, we find that no one claimed a responsibility for it, amen, but no one needs to claim responsibility for it because it's of God, amen, and so it is God's job and his the authorship there, amen, on that one. So again, we started out looking at the negative aspects of the blessed man. And let me give you some definitions here, first of all, as we consider this topic here. The blessed man does not lounge with scorners. After seeing, he doesn't listen to the ungodly counsel. After seeing, he doesn't linger with sinners. Now he does not lounge with scorners. It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The word sitteth means to dwell, to remain, to settle or abide. It also comes with the idea of to endure. That's why over in the New Testament it says Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. It also means to establish, to inhabit, to make or keep house, settle down. And those words will become key as we kind of open this up a little bit. So he says he sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Scornful means to make mouths at, or to scoff, or to have in derision, or to mock at. In other words, the blessed man does not stay around those who will scoff, mock, or make fun of those doing right by God, or those doing right by the word of God. The blessed man is going to make sure that type of company is not company that he keeps, because they will do several things to him. Say, preacher, what will they do? Scornful people will discourage you from doing right by God. And at the same time, scornful people won't encourage you in doing right. Do you hear that? They will, first of all, discourage you from doing right, but then they won't encourage you in doing right. Second of all, when they don't encourage you in doing right, and when they discourage you from doing right, you will be prone to do wrong, fearing their mocking or their scorning. Come on now. Y'all go home to mama and papa sometime. Y'all go home to family, and you don't want to do right sometime because you know they're going to talk about you. You don't want to go to church because you know they're going to talk about you. You don't want to bow your head and pray over your meal because you think they're going to talk about you. You don't want to read your Bible because you think they're going to talk about it. What am I saying? Scornful people won't encourage you in doing right, amen? And they will also not encourage you to do right, amen? So they got discouragement and no encouragement on one hand, and you fall into that trap by not doing it because you're afraid of their scorning and their mocking. So he said, don't sit with them. Because when you sit with them, you're going to end up not doing right. What's wrong with the scornful? Well, let me give you several verses that describe the scornful. Proverbs 9:8 says this, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. So in other words, you can't reprove him. You can't tell him he's done something wrong. He might hate you. Proverbs 13:1 says, a scorner heareth not rebuke. In other words, he won't hear your rebuke when you try to tell him what's wrong with his life. He won't hear you when you tell him what's right by God. Proverbs 14:6 says this, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. In other words, he can't find wisdom. You know what that means? He's not smart. He's not wise. Some of y'all say he's dumb. Some of y'all would even say he's stupid. I'm not going to say that, but you might. I'll say it later. Proverbs 15:12 says this, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. In other words, he won't love you if you tell him that he's wrong. It says, neither will he go unto the wise. In other words, he won't love you. He won't even like you when you tell him wrong, even though he pretends to. Can I get a hello?
Amen.
All right. He will sit up in your face and say, oh, yeah, yeah, but he hates your guts. Because you told him he was wrong. You told him that he's not right. He doesn't want to hear that because he's a scorner. He don't want to hear that. Hey, we all know people like that. By the way, you can be saved and be a scorner. Walking in the flesh, you can be a scorner. Hey, you can be a carnal Christian and be just as scornful as anybody else when you don't encourage and when you discourage someone from doing right. Because you know by default they're going to fall into sin because we're sinners by nature. What's the remedy for the scorner? Proverbs 22:10 says this, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. He says, if you cast him out, you won't have any contention. You won't have any argument. It won't be tension. Get rid of him. Cast out the scorner. That's why some people leave the church. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Proverbs 22:10, you read it. What am I saying? Sometimes you got to go away from him or he needs to go away from you and a lot of tension will go away. Because if we're both encouraged in God and we're both discouraging people from doing wrong by God, guess what? We're on the same sheet of music. But when that doesn't happen, I become prone to the scorner. According to Psalm 1 and verse 1, the ungodly has his counsel, the sinner has his way, and the scornful has his seat. Don't sit with him. You're asking for trouble. Notice the progression in verse number 1. You've got the ungodly there, you've got the sinner there, and you've got the scornful there. And notice the progression in his backsliding. He's walking, then he's standing, and then he's sitting. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. As the company and companionship gets worse, sin increases its hold on the life. G2, come here for a second. What am I talking about? If I'm the scorner, if I'm the sinner, if I'm the ungodly, I'm going to have you walk with me, first of all, because we're going walking down the road of life. I'm going to tell you all my wickedness. I'm going to tell you all my sin. I'm going to tell you what ain't right with this Christian and what ain't right with that Christian and what ain't right with this person. And you're listening to that too, ain't you? Yeah, you are listening to that. Amen. And so I'm just going to go ahead and talk all about you. And the Bible says, hey, you know what? You ought not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't go to church. Amen. And when you go, go with an attitude. Amen. And when you do go, go be mad at somebody. When you do go, talk about the preacher when you go. And when you do go, talk about the preacher's wife when you go. Talk about the assistant pastor's wife. Talk about the deacons when you go. Talk about everybody. Just don't like nobody. Amen. But you smile in everybody's face. You be happy. Amen. Don't like the choir songs. Amen. Don't like the choir director. Amen. Don't like the ushers. Don't like anybody. But you still going to go, right? Amen. You're going to do that, right? I want you to go, amen. And let's talk about that for a minute. So he's already walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Now he's going to stand in the way of sinners. Well, you know what? Me and you ought to have a talk. You a lot like me. You know that?
Yes.
We got the same first name. We got the same middle name. You got the same last name. You a lot like me. I ain't so bad. And you ain't so good. Hey. I'm walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Now I'm trying to convince him that I ain't so bad, even though he knows I'm ungodly. But I may be ungodly, but I ain't that bad. I go to church, too. I read my Bible, too. I pray, too. It's just that I know the dirt on the assistant pastor. I know the dirt on his wife. I know the dirt on the choir director. I know the dirt on the ushers. I know the dirt on the nursery workers. And so I'm just going to share it with you because me and you like that. We a lot like it. Me and you like that. Ain't we like that? High five. Yeah, buddy. Now, let's sit down and have a talk about that. See what just happened? He walked in my counsel. He listened. Now he stood there. I convinced him that I'm a lot like him. Now I don't sit with him. Now you're going to sit in the seat with the scornful. Let me just tell you what it's all about. The Bible really ain't true. What people say ain't true. These people saying amen and all that stuff, they ain't really Christians. And ain't nobody doing nothing for God. So me and you might just sit here and not do nothing for God too. You just sit right here. Amen. Then people talking about they doing right by God, trying to sing for God. You know they ain't right by God. You know they ain't right. They probably can't even spell God. And it ain't hard to spell. You know, I had one of my teenagers. I said, I scrambled up some words, G-O-D. I scrambled them up. And I said, what does that spell? Some one of my teenagers said dog. Now, granted, you can get dog out of that, but if we're trying to be spiritual, you should at least get God out of that. Amen? What do you think about that? You think it's okay? Yeah, see, you a lot like me. I knew you was, amen. And what happened? Hey, he says, you watch the progression. You start walking in that council. You start listening to that foolishness. You start listening to that ungodly stuff, amen. After a while, I'm going to have you stopped and convince you that what I'm saying, actually, you really need to hear. And when you start listening to what I need to hear, even though you know I'm ungodly, even though you know my counsel is ungodly, you're listening to me because I've convinced you that I'm not so bad. Once I convince you that I'm not so bad, let's have a sit down. Let's talk about what everybody ain't doing. Let's talk about how bad everybody else is, how bad the Bible is, how restrictive the Bible is, how you shouldn't do this, how you shouldn't do that. Amen. And before you know it, I'm sitting in the seat of the scornful. People that mock at doing right.
Yes, sir.
People that scoff at people doing right.
Yes, sir.
Teenagers, watch it. You're going to have them at your school. Hey, you're going to the college? You're going to have them at the college. Watch it. You go to your job, you're going to have them at your job. The minute you try to do something for God, they're going to say, oh, you're one of those type of Christians, huh? Well, what kind of type is that? Well, the type that believes the Bible. I thought all Christians are supposed to believe the Bible.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Well, you're one of those that actually does it. I thought all Christians are supposed to do it.
Amen. Preach it, Pastor.
He said, these things do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know about your grammar in English, but in my world, that means do. Now, it may mean something different to you, but do means do.
That's right.
And do doesn't mean do not.
No, it doesn't.
Amen.
Amen.
So what I've got here is if I'm walking in someone's counsel that's ungodly, the minute they try and stop me and stand in the way and convince me that I'm not so bad and what I have to share with them is good, when you know it ain't good. They have already stopped you dead in your tracks in the progression of your Christian walk, your Christian life. The Bible says don't walk in their counsel, don't stand with that sinner, and don't sit in that seat. It's scornful. They will get you in trouble, and many a Christian is sitting there right now. Thank you, G2. I appreciate that. Many a Christian is sitting there right now. Brother Wilbur gave me a tape by Sam Davis, and he quoted George Washington as saying this, associate yourselves with persons of good character. It's better to be alone than to be in bad company. That'll preach there. Hey, it's better to be alone. I can do bad. My mother told me a long time ago. She said, boy, when you get your wife, you make sure you get you a good woman. She said, you can do bad all by yourself. Amen. Hey, I got somebody that made me better. I got somebody that lifted me up. Hey, Christian, don't get somebody that's going to make you worse. You can do bad all by yourself. Don't get an ungodly person. Hey, don't get a scorner. Don't get someone that's going to be a sinner that's going to bring you down. You don't need that. You can do bad all by yourself. Amen. Amen. Hey, mama didn't raise no fool. She said, look, you better get you somebody that's going to make you better. Amen. She made me a whole lot better, too. Praise God for my wife. Praise God for every godly wife. Amen. The blessed man does not lounge with scorners. We're going to illustrate this by using someone's life in the Bible that you know a lot about. Amen. And I want to illustrate this last negative command by using the life of a man by the name of Lot. We're going to follow Lot's life and see a few things about his persons of bad character and bad company that he finds himself sitting in the seat of. Go back to Genesis chapter number 13. And we're going to go through this very, very quickly because most of y'all know the story of Lot. And most of y'all know his life. The first thing I want you to see in this story about Lot's life, amen, as we discuss the blessed man does not lounge with scorners, amen, is this fact, the vision Lot had. The vision Lot had. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 1, Abraham finds himself in a famine and he goes down to Egypt. And now in chapter 13, he's about to come out of Egypt. And notice what it says in verse 1. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had. Notice this. And Lot with him. Amen. And so Lot comes out of Egypt with him. And there's only one problem with that. When you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, when you go into those areas, you'll be appalled by the things you see. Lot had developed a taste for the world. He's down in Egypt and he saw what the Egyptians do.
Hey, what was the cry from Israel all the time? We remember the garlic, remember the leeks, remember the melons, remember all that stuff back in Egypt. Hey, did you remember the bondage that you had too? Do you remember the taskmasters that you had set over you too? Do you remember the beatings that you got in Egypt too? Do you remember everything you had was subject to Pharaoh to take it? Do you remember that your wives could be taken at any given time? Did you remember that about your slavery? Amen. Lot got a taste of the world when he went down in those verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld. What happened was they went to an area that was too big for Lot and Abraham to dwell in. And so Abraham told him to pick. And verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of what? Egypt. And so he saw a land like Egypt. Amen. It was the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like the garden of the Lord. Amen. Like Egypt. Verse number 11. Then chose Lot him all the plain of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Cana, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. Notice this. And pitched his tent toward Sodom. What am I saying? The vision Lot had, you'd be appalled at what you can see when you pitch your tent toward that which is sinful. Amen. The vision he had a picture of Egypt in his mind. He said, I want to get that which I'm used to. Mighty funny, Abraham had the same view, and Abraham didn't go in that direction. Lot went there. Shows you what's in your heart sometimes. Shows you what's in your heart. When you look out and you see something and somebody chooses godly and you choose ungodly, it shows you what's in your heart. Amen. Come on now. Getting kind of quiet. It shows you what's in your heart. Hey, when you choose people of character or people of bad character, it shows what's in your heart. When you choose people that are scorners or that are going to mock the word of God, it shows what's in your heart because you want to hear that. Amen. Amen or oh me. Hey, the vision Lot had, but notice the vileness Lot saw. The vileness Lot saw. Notice verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Notice that. He pitched his tent toward Sodom, but the Bible clearly says they were vile. The vision that he had was vile. They were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. When you stand in the way of sinners, you'll be appalled by the things you do. Amen. He sees this. And by the way, this phrase, notice this. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners. Now, we already know they're wicked. We already know they're sinners. But notice this. Before the Lord exceedingly. You know what that means? That means that they could care less that God saw what they do. They were unashamed in it. They were before the Lord. Remember the guy in the Old Testament? I think it was Phinehas or Eleazar, one of those. The lady Cosby came out there and they was doing the fornication right there in front of the congregation. And everybody saw it. That's the same way Sodom is. They saw this foolishness. They saw it right there. They're unashamed. In other words, they're saying, yeah, God, I'm doing it. And so what? Let me tell you something, friend. The gay and lesbian crowd that we've got going on right now, that's exactly what they're doing. They're unashamed. They're unashamed in their gaiety. They're unashamed in their lesbianism. They're unashamed in their alternate lifestyle. And they're trying to push it on your kids and tell your kids, hey, look, I'm not ashamed about it. I had to come out of the closet. You should have kept that thing in the closet. You should have condemned the house. Leave that stuff where it belongs, amen. This means they were sinners and they were proud of their sin. They were unashamed. Most sinners try to hide their sin. Have you noticed that? You try to find you walking on your kid doing something, they drop it. What'd you do? You scared me. How can I scare you if you're not doing anything you're not supposed to be doing? Well, because I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be walking in on me like that. When I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing. And so you scared me. Most sinners try to hide their sin. Sodom said, we got nothing to be ashamed of. We're proud. We're unashamed before God. And this is the crowd that Lot finds himself before. By the way, Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49 says this. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Pride. She was proud of her sin. She was proud of her homosexuality. She was proud of her lesbianism. She was proud of her wickedness. She was proud and she said, I dare you say something and get it. Scorner. Scorner. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You know, when you get in the counsel of the ungodly and you begin to sit in the seat of the scornful, bad things happen. Notice the victim Lot becomes. We already see the vision he had of Egypt, and then he got that, and so he saw Sodom, and it looked the same. The vileness that he saw when he was there, amen. When you see these things and you do these things, you'd be surprised what you will become. Go over to chapter 14 and verse number 12. When you sit in the seat of the scornful, you'll be appalled by the things you become. Genesis 14, notice verse 12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother, a brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. There was a war going on between several kings. And one of the kings came and captured the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took the people. And the Bible mentions that Lot was one of the people that were taken. Remember in chapter 13, he had just pitched his tent toward Sodom. So in other words, he pitched his tent here in the plain, and he could see Sodom out there. Now he's in Sodom. What am I saying? The vision he had, but then the violence he saw, but now the victim he became. Now he's not here anymore. He done went all the way down there. And it's so attractive. It looks like Egypt. I'm going to go ahead and get inside of the city. I don't want to look at the sin from afar. I don't want to view it from afar. I want to get into it. Hey, young people, you better watch it. Amen. That girl may look good. You better get your hands off of her. Girls, you better watch it. You better let the man, don't let him touch you. Don't let him touch you. Oh, but he's so charming. He's so strong. Oh, is he spiritual? Does he know God? Is he saved? His britches hanging down to his knees. He got on a dress for a shirt. Can't pull his pants up. Can't spell belt. Got tattoos all over him. I'm not against people with tattoos. Amen. I'm just saying it's not right by God. Amen. You might have some. Amen. I'm not against that. Amen. But God is. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? Hey, watch it. Hey, the vision he had, the vileness he saw, the victim he became. He became a victim of that which he saw. What am I saying? Walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners. Now he's going to be sitting in the seat of the scornful. 14:12 says he dwelt in Sodom. Over in chapter 13, he just pitched his tent towards it. He became a victim. Remember the definition for sitteth. It means to dwell, to remain, to settle, to abide, to make house. He's made his house. Well, the story gets better, amen. He gets rescued. Notice verse 16. And he bought back all the goods, and also bought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So Abraham went out with his servants and bought everything back. You know what that tells me? Lot had a chance to leave. He was in captivity. He had a chance to actually escape and get out of the city and run. But you know what he did? He went right back to Sodom. Where your treasure is, that will your heart be also. His heart is with ungodly people. His heart is with sinners. His heart is with the scornful. Hey, watch it. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? You will gravitate towards that which you like. Young people, you will gravitate towards the type of young people that are like you. Now, I'm not talking about in the church. I'm talking about when you get outside the church. What kind of people do you gravitate towards in school? What type of people do you gravitate to? What type of people do you associate to? And are they ungodly counselors? Are they sinners? Are they scorners against your God, your Bible, your walk, your church, your parents? Because they won't speak good about your parents. They won't speak good about your Bible. Or they'll say, have your Bible, but let's sin. Wait a minute, that's a contradiction. Have your Bible, that's like saying, well, let's be saved, but let's sin. Let's love Jesus, but let's crucify him. Let's love him, but let's spit on him. Preacher, that doesn't even go together. Just like sin doesn't go with your Savior. He died for sin once. How dare you live in it? And how dare you live around people that live in it and want to counsel you and want to be sinners with you and want you to sit with them? Hey, you better watch it. You better watch it. What am I saying? Lot's going to find himself in trouble. He had a chance to get out of town. Fast forward to chapter 19. Fast forward to chapter number 19. What am I saying? The ungodly counselors walking with sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Come over to chapter 19. Notice verse number 1. In chapter 18, God tells Abraham that he's going to destroy the city of Sodom because of its sin. He's going to send down some messengers to make sure it's so. So in chapter 19, we find a startling revelation. Chapter 13, we find Lot looking and pitching his tent toward Sodom. Chapter 14, we find him dwelling in Sodom. He's been rescued, carried away. He comes back to Sodom. Chapter 19, what do we find him? There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. He's sitting in the seat of the scornful. Lot's sitting in the seat of the scornful. With Lot's progression of looking and pitching towards sin and dwelling in Sodom, now Lot sits in the gate. He's sitting in the seat of the scornful. Sitting in the gate is the equivalent of being a leader in the community or a judge or some type of official in the town. We often think, well, I can help them. Not by being like them, you can't. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Love not the world, neither things are in the world. Any man love the world, love of the Father is not in him. Hey, all is in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the world. I mean, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. It passes away. The world passes away. Now he's sitting in the gate. Well, preacher, I'm just trying to help them. Two drowning people can't help each other. I'm just saying. Somebody better have a life jacket. If both can't swim and both have no means of saving themselves, how is he going to save somebody else? Somebody's got to have the lifeline. I'm so glad we got the lifeline. The Word of God. Throw out the lifeline, amen. The blessed Word of God. Hey, the book says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Hey, you shouldn't have been in the water in the first place. You shouldn't have been in the water in the first place. Now Lot finds himself a victim. He's sitting in the seat of the scornful, thinking, well, maybe I can help them. Maybe I can make a difference. Not sitting with them, you can't. This town's days are numbered, and that's why the angels are there to show that the angels, God is right in destroying it. The angels are persuaded by Lot to stay with him, and his house is surrounded by these wicked men of the town. Notice down here in verse number 2. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night and wash your feet. And you shall rise up early and go on your ways, and they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. They turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Amen. He's got some manners. He's got some hospitality. Amen. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. That's pretty bad. Everybody in the town's coming to your house. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now that's a euphemism, which means to have sexual relations with them. In other words, they want to have homosexual relations with these men. That's sad. But that's the town that he pitched towards. That's the town that he moved into. And that's the town that he's sitting in the gate in. Hey, what am I saying? When you walk with the ungodly counsel, when you stand in their way, before long you're going to be sitting in their seat, calling yourself as a righteous person, trying to help them. There is no help for them but God. And the help that you can give them is to live a sanctified, separated, godly life. Be ye holy, why? For I am holy. That's the only way you can help them. And here's the key turnaround in this whole passage. Notice the results as to why the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Why the blessed man does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Why the blessed man does not go in the way of sinners, stand in the way of sinners. Why is that so? Because of what's going to happen to Lot now. Notice the void Lot had. The void Lot had. In chapter 19, he is going to lose, first of all, his testimony. He's lost all respect as a righteous man or a man of God. Notice verse number 5. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now, wait a minute. Lot, I thought you were supposed to be in a town to make a difference. Where's your testimony at? Where's your difference that you're making? Lot has no value in his position as a judge now. He has no value in his position as a leader. He has no position as an official. He has no position, hear me now, as a righteous man of God. Why? Because he sat with the sinners. He sat with the scornful. He sat with the ungodly. He can't make a difference. And he has the audacity to say, do not so wickedly. And back in chapter 13, the Bible says in verse number 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So if they're wicked and sinners before the Lord, what do you think they're going to do before you, Lot? Give you a break? Think that you're holier than God? Lot, you think they're going to have some respect for you? They don't have respect for God? We have this idea. Well, they won't respect God, but they'll respect me. If they don't respect God, who is all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, how are they going to respect you? Amen. Lot lost his testimony. He's got no value in his position. Notice going on down in that same passage. He said, do not so wickedly. Verse 8, behold, now I have two daughters which I have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. He's about to give his daughters over to these wicked, vile men. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. He's got no value in his position. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They said, you know what? We're gonna deal worse with you. You come here trying to be a judge in this town. Guess what? We're going to deal with you too. It wasn't for the grace of God and the mercy of God to have them angels pulling back in the door. Lot and these guys would have been told, but these are angels, so they made them go blind. Amen. What am I saying here? Lot lost his testimony. He had no value in his position. They're that way before God. They're going to be that way before him. But then not only that, Lot had no voice as a parent. Come down to verse number 12. And the men said unto Lot, these are the angels, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in thy city? Bring them out to this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And notice how he has no voice as a parent. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. Notice that plural, sons-in-law. So he had at least two daughters, which married his daughters. And said, notice this, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. The word mock there means to laugh outright. In other words, they laughed in Lot's face. And you know, I can just hear them saying this. Lot, you just like us. Now, Lot, if God was going to destroy this city, why would you move in here in the first place? If God's going to destroy this city, why did you even come here in the first place? Why didn't you just stay out there somewhere? If God's going to destroy that, come on, Lot. You know God. God's been seeing us do this wickedness all this time. You've been seeing us do this wickedness all this time. You've been seeing our homosexuality all this time. You've been seeing our lesbianism. You've been seeing all our idolatry. And you're talking about God's going to destroy it. Well, why didn't you say something a long time ago?
That's good, Pastor. Good.
How many times do we repeatedly sit with people who sin and we say nothing about it? Come on now. They badmouth your friends. They badmouth the church. They badmouth the pastor. They badmouth everything. And you sit there and do nothing about it. You're no different. I'm no different when we do that. Young people, you're no different when you do that. You sit there and watch somebody talk about your friends, and then you go laugh in your friend's face. You're a mocker. You're a scorner. Hey, when you talk about those little girls over there at the school, then you go right back in their face and say, I like this one, I like that one. You're no different. Hey, we're no different. They mocked him. He lost his value as a position in his position. He lost his value as a parent. His own children won't even listen to him. what happens when you listen to ungodly counsel. That's what happens when you stand with sinners. That's what happens when you sit in the seat of the scornful. It's progressive. He's got no voice as a parent. They have mocking him. They probably said things like that. Why were you here all these years in the first place? Why didn't you move out sooner? Why did you bring us here in the first place? Lot, you're a big joke. We can't believe anything you say because you never said nothing about God. Ooh, ow, ooh, that hurts. You never said anything about God before. Why are you going to start now? Young people, why don't you come to my church? You never said anything about being a Christian when you was cursing and smoking. When you was drinking with us out there and doing these things over here and touching that girl and doing these things, you never say anything about being a Christian. Now you want me to come to your church? No voice. No value. Wow. Hey, folks, this is what ungodly counsel will get you. This is what standing in the way of sinners will get you. This is the epitome of sitting in the seat of the scornful now. Lot's a big joke. He's got no voice. As a parent, he's lost his testimony. He's lost his witness. They see him as one that's mocking them. And fools make a mock at sin, Proverbs 14:9 says. Not only was Lot's void of his testimony, he was going to be void of his treasure now. He lost the treasured wife, his precious wife. Notice Genesis 19 and verse number 16. They are going to destroy the place. It says, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and of the Lord being merciful. And I said this last week, why would you want to linger in some place you know is going to be destroyed? If I told you guys, at 12:15, a bomb's going to explode in this church. And it's going to be consumed by fire. How many of y'all would stay here? Let me see your hands. And why would Lot and his family linger? Wow. You know, the ones who would stay would be the ones who didn't believe it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Lot lost his treasured wife. Notice verse number 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life. Notice this. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And you come down to verse 26, you find that Lot's wife looked behind. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She lingered in her mind. She lingered in her heart. Remember, they lingered back in verse number 16. Now they've been pulled out. Perhaps her heart was still in Sodom, and something made her look back. But wait a minute, how often do we come to the house of God, pulled away from the sin or situation, just to come into the house of God, and we can't hear the preaching of God because our heart's still with our sin. Our heart's still with our sinful condition. Our heart's still with the thing that we left. Although we're here, we're not here. Although I'm here in body, I'm not here in mind and in spirit and soul. Although I'm here, I'm just a shell of a person. I've been drug away from my sin. I've been drug away from my sinful position. My parents wanted me to come. My wife wanted me to come. My husband wanted me to come. My teacher wanted me to come. The pastor wanted me to come. I'm here. But you're not here. But you're not here. And it does you no good. Coming to the house of God to still bring your problems when God says, casting all your cares upon me, for he careth for you. We become paralyzed from our sin, our situations in the house of God, unable to receive a blessing, unable to hear from God, unable to hear from God's word, unable to hear from God's man, all because I lingered, I've been pulled in the house of God, and I still don't want to let go. My heart's not in it. Amen. I've been there before. I've been there. Preachers preaching away. My heart's a million miles away. Thinking about my sin and my situation. Wasn't for the mercy of God to arrest my wretched soul and say, son, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look square in his wonderful face, and the things of earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hey, whilst I lingered, God had to pull me and say, look, son, don't look at the scornful. Don't look at the sinners. Don't look at the godly. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Hey, the Lord being merciful to me. What am I saying? He lost his treasured wife. She perished. She became a pillar of salt. Jesus is warning in the New Testament, a three-word warning says this about being prepared in Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. Three simple words. He gave a three-word sentence in Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. Talking about the future coming destruction. Hey, look, if you're not saved here, remember Lot's wife. You're not saved here? Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, God will judge. Amen. He judged this town. Amen. Not only did Lot, he lost his treasured wife perished, but he lost his treasured daughters, their purity. Notice down in verse number 32. They escaped to this cave in this mountain area. They believe that there's no one else around. And so his daughters do the unthinkable. They get their daddy drunk. So Lot gets drunk here. Notice verse number 32. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, and that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both of the daughters of Lot with child by their father. He lost his treasured wife. She perished. He lost his treasured daughters, their purity. Lost both of them in the same incident because he listened to the ungodly. He stood with the sinners, and then he sat in the scornful, and he lost everything he had. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I just think we ought to just obey the negative commands and say, don't walk with the council. Don't stand with the sinners. Don't sit in their seat. Can we help them? Oh, yes, we need to help them. But you see how much help Lot gave him. He seemed as one that mocked to them. You know why? He didn't live a separated life. He didn't live a sold out life. Obviously, he wasn't a soul winner. He didn't care for their souls. He must have never said anything about God or Jesus because they thought it was all a joke. They laughed at him. Where did it all start? Walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the sea scornful. If Lot could do it all over again, I'm sure he would choose differently. What about you this morning? What about you? Do you find yourself in some way, shape, fashion, or form lining up with some of the things that Lot did? Maybe you're not sitting in the seat of the scornful, but maybe you're standing in the way of sinners today. Or maybe you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Maybe you listen to things that you know aren't right by God, and in God's presence, you would not even listen to that. By the way, God is omnipresent. And if you're listening to things that you know, if Jesus Christ were sitting next to you, you wouldn't listen to. Friend, you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Hey, if you're there discussing things that are sinful, sinners things, guess what? You're standing with sinners. You're pondering what you're going to do. God is still there. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro all the earth. He's omnipresent. He sees what you're doing. Young boys, he sees what you say. He sees what you say about those little girls. Girls, he sees what you say about those little boys out there. He sees when their hands get on you. Men, he sees when you put your little hands on those little girls. He understands that. He sees that. That's ungodly counsel. That's walking in the way of sinners. That's sitting in the seat of scornful. And my friend, you'll be in trouble. I don't care who you are, you'll be in trouble. You cannot play with sin and not get in trouble. You can't play with fire and not get burned. Where are we at with the negative choices of the blessed man? Can we say no? I'm not going to walk with that counsel. Can we say no? I'm not going to stand with that sin. Can we say no? I'm not going to sit in that seat. By the way, it is progressive. You start walking, and then they've got to slow you down, left to pause like I did with G2. And when they convince you that they're not so bad, they will sit with you. When they give you that counsel, friend, you are in danger. Remember Lot's wife. Hey, by the way, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, you're in trouble already. You've already listened to the counsel of the ungodly because you're not saved. God wants everybody to be saved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Hey, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon him, the Lord shall be saved. Hey, what am I saying? But God commended the love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, even though we were at one time the ungodly counselors, even though we were the sinners, even though we were the scornful, God in his mercy saved us. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Amen. God saw our fault and saw our need. Amen. And he saved us. How are the negative choices going in your life today? It's your benefit to avoid their counsel, not to stand with them, nor to sit with them. Remember Lot's wife. Now, folks, that's how the blessed man got to be blessed. That's how the blessed man got to be so happy. I can be happy when somebody doesn't give me ungodly counsel. I can be happy when somebody doesn't stand with me and try to give me sinful things. I can be happy when I'm not sitting with people that are going to be scorning and mocking everything that I'm supposed to be doing by God. I can be happy. But guess what? When that's coming, and when that's coming from people that you expect and from people that you don't expect it to come from, that can be confusing. That's why you just need to trust God and his word. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Hey, if somebody was talking about your wife, would you listen to anything else they had to say? Somebody's talking about your husband, would you listen to anything else they got to say? Amen.
Amen.
Somebody going to talk about your kids, would you listen to anything else they got to say? If it's repeated, remember it says sitteth, it's a continual action verb, meaning they do this all the time. Now, I just had somebody tell me something about one of my children not too long ago, and I appreciate it because it was true and it was right, and I investigated it. But can you imagine somebody came to you all the time about your children, all the time, always negative, never encouraging, always discouraging? Hey, that's the scornful. And by the way, the scorner hates to be rebuked, hates to be reproved, hates to be corrected. I love to be corrected. You tell me something's wrong in my life, amen. I am not too big for my britches to say, well, I'm the pastor. I'm never wrong. Right. I never sin. I haven't sinned since 2002. Which one was that? Well, that was the one where someone asked me, did I ever sin? I said, well, no, not since 2000, whatever. Hey, folks. A scorner doesn't like to be corrected. By the way, if you want to be right by God, you should want to be corrected. Because the blessed man says, I'm not going to walk in that council. I'm not going to stand in that sin. I'm not going to sit in that seat. I'm going to make some negative choices of what not to do. Have you been saved today? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If not, trust him today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. If you're being baptized today, would you please quietly slip out from where you're at? If they're in your row, please let them slip out. You're being baptized, go ahead and slip out. Make your way to the back. Miss Bev will meet you back there. Those that are being baptized. The rest of us, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Say, preacher, it took us 3 weeks to cover this blessed man. Yes, we did. Because these negative choices are paramount to the remainder of the choices that we make. With head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. How many sitting under the sound of my voice this morning would say, preacher, if I died right now, I know I'm on my way to heaven because I've repented of my sins. I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not counting on my baptism. I'm not counting on how much money I gave, but I'm born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to raise my hand in testimony to God for that. You can raise your hand and say, I know I'm saved. I know by the grace of God, I've been born again. You slip that hand up for a testimony to God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. How many would be honest with me and honest before God, and God knows your heart anyway, and say, preacher, I've never been born again. I've never been saved. I'm concerned about it. I've never been saved. Would you pray for me that I can get it settled? I've got some doubts in my mind. I'm not 100% accurate that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you remember me in your closing prayer? Anyone like that at all? You slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. You can slip it up, and you can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl all across this room. By the way, the Bible says, by their fruits, you shall know them. God says he knows your heart. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Anyone at all? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. Amen. Last question is rhetorical. Have you walked in the counsel of the ungodly lately? Have you stood in the way of sinners lately? Have you sat in the seat of the scornful lately? Hey, folks, it's easy to do because they're very convincing people. And just as easy as I convinced my son to do some things, sinners and scorners and ungodly will do the same thing. And maybe you've listened to someone lately. Or maybe someone that you know has listened to someone. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray for them. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a daughter. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe it's someone at your job. They're listening to something that they ought not listen to. And you don't want them to end up like Lot, losing everything. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray for them. Father, you know the hearts that are here. You know the needs that are here. You know the help that is here. Lord, I pray that through the Spirit's power, you would give the help that is necessary. But we have systematically gone through Lot's life in Psalm 1 and saw the choices that he made on every turn, leading him to walk in ungodly counsel, standing in the way of sinners, then ultimately sitting in the seat of the scornful, and the ultimate goal, he lost it all. Oh God, that is not your desire for us. You don't want these young people to lose their purity. You don't want any husband or wife to lose their spouse to foolishness. Lord, you don't want us as church members to lose what we have gained in Christ. And Lord, help us to be weary and alarmed at these things when they come. Lord, the only way we'll know it is by having the Word of God as our bedrock and our foundation and having the Spirit to guide us, Lord. So I pray for these that are in this room that maybe have a situation or have a loved one that's in harm's way. Lord, I pray that you would help deliver them by the glory of God the same way Lot lingered and you had to pull them out. Maybe you've got to pull a loved one out by the arm today. Maybe you've got to pull a loved one out by the hand today, the Lord being merciful unto them. Lord, I don't know what you have to do, but you pulled Lot out once. Then you had to pull him out twice. Lord, I don't know if that would have been a third time. But thank you for your mercy and your grace. Work in our hearts. Lord, make much of this time of decision in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Brad's going to sing. As he sings, God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and make a decision. Maybe you need to come pray for someone. Maybe you need to pray for yourself. Have thine own way, have thine own way. Maybe there have been some ungodly people at your job. Maybe some sinners in your area. Maybe some counselors that are trying to persuade you, some scorners, some mockers. Maybe you'd say, I don't want to lose it all. I don't want to be like Lot. I don't want to pitch my tent towards Sodom. I don't want to dwell in Sodom. I don't want to sit in a gate. But I do want to be a witness to sinners. I want to help them. Oh God, make me bold. Give me a witness. Give me a testimony. Hey, you can't be a witness. You can't be a testimony sitting in the seat of the scornful. Standing in the way of sinners. You got to be separate from sinners. How about it? God spoke in your heart. Would you move? Would you move? Maybe you need to come pray for a loved one. Maybe a friend. Maybe a coworker. Maybe a student. Young people, want to come pray for your purity and say, you know what? I'm not going to let what happened to Lot's daughters happen to me. I'm going to be pure until I walk down that aisle and get married. As a young man, I'm going to be pure. As a young lady, I'm going to be pure. Maybe you need to say, I'm going to make a commitment to God today to be pure. Hey, it all starts by what you watch, by what you read, by what you see, by where you go, by what you look at. How about it, young people? To make that commitment to the Lord today. To make that decision, I'm going to be pure. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Master, I pray. How about it today? Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Say, preacher, you covered quite a bit today. Yes, we did, but the main thing is the negative choices. Don't walk with them. Don't stand with them. Don't sit with them. But preacher, it sounded good. It sounded good to Eve too in the beginning. But she was beguiled. Hey, folks, saved people can do the same thing to you. It's not just unsaved. Say people can do the exact same thing. If they're not in the Word of God, if they're not praying, if they're not walking with God, they can give you the same counsel. They can stand just like sinners. They can scorn just the same. Are you encouraging right? Are you discouraging wrong? Scorners. How about it? Are you saved? Your associations is a close reflection of your heart. Who are your counselors? Who are your friends? Who are the ones you sit with often? And do they believe the Word of God? Are they saved? Do they know Jesus Christ as Lord? Are they busy in God's service? Do they do the will of God? Are they walking with God? If Lot would have followed Abraham, he would not have been in this trouble. But he went opposite and chose sinners, chose scorners, chose ungodly. Preachers, is that bad? No, it's worse. Because he lost everything. What will you have to lose before you let God work in your life? Our Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for what we can see in Lot's life to avoid. Thank you that the blessed man is avoiding the ungodly counsel, avoiding standing with sinners, not getting entertained by them, then not sitting with the scornful, Lord, because we see the outcome of that. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners exceedingly. They were unashamed. Lord, whether a sinner is ashamed or unashamed, we still ought not walk in their counsel. Lord, we can't make a difference until there's a separation between us and them. People must see Jesus in us. Lord, I pray that they would see that today. These that came to an old-fashioned altar to make decisions, Lord, solidify that decision in their mind and their hearts. And those that still need to make decisions, Lord, that have made decisions in their seats also, help them to walk out of here today in victory, saying, I've met with Jesus today. He's changed my life. He's changed my heart. I'm going to make a difference. I'm not going to sit with the scornful. I'm not going to stand with the sinners. I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I will be different. Lord, you said that the negative led to the positive, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. O God, may we have the obedience to the negative commands, that we may enjoy the positive commands. Save that one that's lost, hanging in the balance today. Trouble their heart. They won't leave until they get things settled in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We do have...